tonight, it is college basketball night yet again. Tar Heel men beating Louisville last night 74-63. They move up into a two-game lead in the ACC with three games left thanks to that win and the fact that Syracuse beat Duke last night on that incredible buzzer beater at the buzzer, as all buzzer beaters are. I don't know why I talk sometimes. You know, that buzzer beater at the buzzer. Yeah.
Just clarify.
Anyway, Duke lost, so UNC's up two. Yeah, exactly right. Tar Heels up two games in the ACC. Tar Heel women struggling a little bit. They're down towards the bottom of the ACC standings, but they got a chance to move up tonight at 7 o'clock. They're down the road in Raleigh taking on NC State, and we got that game for you here on WCHL. You're joined now in the studio by Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger, and clearly I can't talk, so how are you doing?
It's been a great week. I can talk.
Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger, you know, the mayor of Chapel Hill.
We had a wonderful innovation summit this morning. We reached out in the community and brought some people together, and we want to continue this dialogue, but it's the first step in Chapel Hill helping create that dialogue and bringing people together to take those next steps from incubator to accelerator to what do we need to do. And we heard some great things today. We're going to continue that dialogue. If you're interested, you're welcome to reach in and help us out. But
who was speaking at that meeting?
So the town and the university helped coordinate facilitating this to bring some people together that we knew were already entrepreneurs in our own community and some that live here and do their innovation elsewhere. We're like, tell us what we need to be doing here. Help us figure this out, because the best accelerators in the country actually come out of the private sector. And we want to be partners, but we want it to be this organic Chapel Hill experience. And we heard that we should think about entrepreneurs being our customers. We should think about communications and connecting people together. So we want to form an advisory council. That's where we are headed with the discussion today, so we can continue growing this in our community and make Chapel Hill the place to come if you want to be innovative and express those ideas. We have this great, talented workforce between our regular community and the university community. There's just so much energy here. How to pull that all together and make it something really cool.
Yeah. So what's the next step there? I mean, you said that was the first step.
Yes.
We've got incubators. We're getting accelerators. We've got just sort of this great entrepreneurial spirit at UNC.
Forming a council of people who are already in this. And we had several people volunteer today. And we're looking forward to have to continue to figure out how to actually take action. So that's what the next steps will be. So we're going to pull together another meeting and figure that out and continue and form this advisory council. I spoke yesterday at the No Kid Hungry North Carolina conference here at the Friday Center. First lady, see, you made me do it, Kristen Cooper was there. She's taking it up as one of her causes as well. There were a lot of great innovative things for helping get more food to more kids who are on free and reduced lunch, but also need help at breakfast and also need help during the long summer months. And some incredible programs, funding's available through federal stipends, how to make this all work, how to make it a more cohesive plan that reaches more kids. And that's the goal for everyone. So that was really cool. This week, we had some light rail station area planning meetings, and there's a series of those still going on. Please check out our website on that. OWASA is having a second meeting in the council chambers this evening.
Tonight, right? Yeah.
Right. So that's at 7 p.m. And on Monday, we have a council meeting. We're going to get a presentation from Dwayne Brinson, the tax office director for Orange County, talking about reevaluation. Tune in for that.
Yep.
And then Lori Palicelli from the Visitors Bureau is going to come give us a presentation on updates on what's happening with the visitor stats. And then we had the Lincoln Center redevelopment on there. And again, the results from the station area planning updates, not results as in finals, just the where we are, progress, where we're going with that.
Awesome. And the next light rail station meeting is tonight at 6 at the Franklin Hotel.
Yes.
So I've got this list
here.
Oh, you
do?
Yeah.
There's one Saturday?
We've been mentioning
you
it. One Saturday at the Franklin Hotel at
so
noon, and then
on
6 o'clock on Monday at Chapel Hill Town Hall. So if people are going to the town hall meeting, town council meeting anyway, they can just go an hour early,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they can.
Go to that thing.
Yeah, that's good. So lots of opportunities to figure out what's going on, get involved, hear stuff, and you can always sign up on our website to get those emails and updates. So, yeah. It's
very
good.
Cool.
Hey, Chapel Hill is looking really pretty right now.
Yeah,
the daffodils
isn't it? Oh my
are
God.
Out. The camellias are
We're
in
gonna
full.
Make it through February with no snow. We don't Ooh. Have 16 school days off this year like we did last year.
Oh, I know.
It's
I know.
So much fun. It's
just, yeah. I just love it when the first signs of spring actually start up because you know the greenery is coming right behind it, and it
right,
just makes
right.
us look even better. I mean, I love this community, but it's fun when you start seeing the beginnings of all that.
Yeah, so awesome. Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, I got to ask you about the I could ask you about any one of a number of things. There's like 50 bills going through the General
oh,
Assembly right
goodness.
Now.
You got to be reading up on all that.
Right. The one that I want to talk about is a couple of them. First of all, the Sanctuary City bill that's
yes.
going through, which I was talking with Mark Dorison yesterday, and like, what is the possible impact on local communities? Because we've already got a bill that bans sanctuary cities, no police departments, certainly here and theoretically anywhere in the state, refuse to abide by immigration law.
Correct.
So what is this bill supposed to be targeting? Is it targeting a community like Chapel Hill, where the police department doesn't refuse to, but doesn't necessarily make it a priority to enforce immigration law? Is a police department like that potentially on the hook, or is this, what is this about? Do we know yet?
This is about a philosophy. It's
right.
not about a reality. It's a philosophy of thinking that they're helping our state by keeping people out that they deem undesirable. We don't agree with that, but we're not listed as a sanctuary city, but mm-hmm. we do all the things to make sure people feel safe and included. I think it's really distressing and sad that and you'll see that most of the people presenting these bills, to be honest with you, are coming from the rural backgrounds. I'm not trying to point fingers, but it's when you live in a city and in a metropolitan area, you've seen all this diversity, you're used to it, you're not as frightened of it. And I think there's just this perception that people that are different from us bring threats, and that's just mm-hmm. not true. We found it not to be true. So I don't know. It's sad. I feel like it's a very sad time that people think that they have to keep other people out in order to feel safe.
Yeah. That's always been true. Like, it's something that we always have to keep fighting against.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any worry at all that Chapel Hill might be implicated by the... Okay.
No.
Not right now.
Well, I'm sure they're looking at us. You know, Chapel Hill, like in Carrboro and Hillsborough and Orange County, like to say, whoa, wait a minute, we see it differently.
Right.
But they can't really... we're not declared that way. We aren't going to refuse to do certain... I mean, we're going to... We haven't been put into a situation to refuse to comply with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the things we're supposed to do. We can continue doing our faith IDs. They're not coming at us for that. We can continue enforcing safety the way we feel safety should be enforced. That doesn't mean ICE can't come here. That's the scary part, that mm-hmm. ICE could come here, but we're not going to invite them in and say, come here and take a look. So we'll see what happens.
And
this.
I think the thing that struck me, and I was talking about this with Lydia Lavelle 2 weeks ago now, I guess, and Mark Dorison yesterday, we were talking about the Owosso water crisis, and Mayor Lavelle was saying, and I don't know what Chapel Hill ended up doing, but Carrboro is a smaller town with a smaller area, so they can do this just for people who may not have gotten the many, many messages that got sent out. Okay, we'll send the police door to door and have mm-hmm. them approach the door and knock on it and say, hey, just so you know, the water might be contaminated, don't use it. You can't do that unless you've got strong community relationships between members of the community and the police department
right.
where there's not this extreme level of mistrust. You couldn't
right.
do that in a community where those relationships hadn't already been built. And you've got a bill like this that breaks that trust.
It does break that
yeah.
trust. And I will tell you, though, we do have other individuals in the community who aren't in uniform that helped mm-hmm. us go to door to door during the crisis, who were connected to different populations for different reasons. Orange County Social Services had a stream of people out there helping with this because they know, we know in our own affordable housing communities, we're out there. We've proven that trust. So there was a willingness to listen to that. It's scary enough having a crisis like a water
yeah,
crisis,
right?
And then you throw in all this, the bills from our state legislature.
Yeah.
So, again, I say the same things. Speak up, stand up, show up. Please
yep.
communicate with legislators. Ours are great. You can reaffirm, but reach out to those
but
other ones out there.
Continue to speak
there.
Out to them, too,
yes.
so they know what the priorities
yes.
are
yes.
as well.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And
yeah.
local elected officials, because I know you need a much more full inbox than you already have.
Well, no, but it reinforces the message. But the more they hear, the more people. I mean, I'm sorry. I think it was proof enough that we elected Governor Cooper
right.
to show the overall, because of the gerrymandering, gerrymandering. The certain leadership positions are going to have stayed the same, but there's a gear up to make all that different. But we're being, I don't know that we're being led by the majority right now.
Yeah. No. I think we know that we're not being led
by
the majority
but if you
right
don't
now,
vote, yeah. I don't know how to count you in there. Yeah. So my message is always, please vote, please stand up, please show up.
What are your thoughts on the new bill?
HB2, oh my. Just
HB 186 now that we're thinking about?
So everyone wants a win out of the situations, mm-hmm. what we were cautioned about, and it was a discouraging phone call with the other metro mayors trying to figure out what to do, how to stand up. It's almost been a year now, and we're still fighting. I worry about our image nationally as well, because people don't want to come here because they think we're all like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind of bill you could craft where everyone gets a win and people realize we're not all like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays. I think Representative McGrady has a good idea to bring people from both sides of the aisle together. I hope some iteration of that would be beneficial to everyone. I want the thing gone.
Right.
So there's this talk about putting a moratorium on passing a discrimination bill, anti-discrimination bill that was stronger than what we already have one in Chapel Hill.
Right.
So we just stay a little quiet because we don't need to say, oh, that doesn't worry us. Because, I mean, it worries us for the rest of the state, obviously. But
Yeah.
I keep saying the tide's changing. The wave is coming. Hopefully, this will inspire more people, especially young people, to come out and vote next time to make sure that the bigger voice, the bigger viewpoint, the more worldly view is represented at our state level.
And it's certainly true. Like every social movement experiences the backlash. Like it's unfortunate, but it happens. It happened with the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s. It happened with the women's rights movement. It's happening with the LGBT movement. Like this is part of the getting there.
It's a dance, it's a game, it's whatever. So I'm hopeful for the future. Maybe not necessarily as particular, but I'm hopeful for the future.
Maybe not the immediate next week future,
future. I'm hopeful for the long-term future because, like I said, the tide is changing. The world is changing. We are more worldly. We're communicating more. We're figuring more things out. And North Carolina has some incredible opportunities, and I don't know why we think we need to shut the door on certain aspects of that. So.
TownofChapelHill.org if you want to know more about goings-on with town government, Mayor Pam Hemminger, anything else going on in town that people ought to know about?
Well, we're doing some more work downtown, of course. We're trying to always looking at those parking initiatives. We're looking at increasing parking downtown and welcoming people to find easier places to park and helping out our merchants. But creating some more parking at the end of it's Sunset and West Rosemary down there. We're making that into an hourly lot, so there'll be opportunities to park there, too. So we're excited that project's wrapping up. It just got started. It's wrapping up. So there's a lot going on. Porthole Alley is moving along very nicely, so that's good. And Caraway Village, which is the one north of town off Eubanks Road, is started into their development phases over there. So we are looking at that light industrial zone change for the Millhouse Road area off of Eubanks Road because we want to encourage more of those entrepreneurial flex space places to be that aren't quite as expensive, more room to get companies that need a loading dock or want to do their own light manufacturing, which has it can't have an effect outside your building. So it wouldn't be polluting, it wouldn't be those kinds of things, noisy, all that stuff. So it's an exciting time for Chapel Hill. I'm very excited about that prospect. We had the first public hearing on the light industrial zone. We'll have the second one coming up in March. I see it as a great opportunity to capture that energy here, create jobs, bring revenues, but just that energy. Positive energy attracts more positive energy, and I see that as a great future for Chapel Hill.
The sun is shining.
Yeah,
it's a time to get out and make it happen. Yes.
in life and on the planet.
There you go. Pam Hemminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.